Good evening, Professor Lagia. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
You know, well, we are in another election year. You may have seen and you have studied many of these elections.
Yes.
I always hear people say, you know, every election, they say, this is the mother of all elections. You know, and I'm sure somebody is going to say that again. Why do people always say this?
Well, I think, unlike previous elections, this one will be about reconstruction and recovery after a crisis.
Right. And the crisis being the COVID-19.
The COVID-19 crisis, yes.
So,
which will require a different set of skills and different perspectives. It will require a new vision altogether.
But would the electorate buy into that? In other words, would the politicians speak solely on COVID-19 and how they manage it, etc., and what should be done? You know, it depends on what side.
The management is what has gone by. Yeah. Now we are relatively open except for borders. And the major problem before us now is the recovery. How do we recover from the ravages of what COVID has caused? So that it will be left to the political parties now to define what the issues of the future should be and how they should address them.
Right. But of course, you know, we will also hear about Venezuela, Delcy Rodriguez, and these other issues would come into play on the political hustings.
Of course it will.
Because
sometimes the mistakes of governments in the past will certainly come up at election time.
Right, and as a government, the government would take the stance that they have done the best in managing it, and the oppositions would do the opposite, would find faults.
Well, not only that, I think also the opposition and even the government will have to convince the population that they can carry us forward. In other words, they can take us to the stage that now is one now of recovery from the virus.
Let us talk about the UNC, the opposition. The UNC, that party has gotten rid of a lot of the politicians who were the senior ones, and a lot of younger ones, you know, have come into play. Is that both an advantage and a disadvantage for someone who is trying to be in government?
There are certain advantages and some disadvantages. Certainly with the younger people, you have people with more energy, more drive, and maybe a different set of skills. But what the downside of it is that it may take them a little time to become acquainted with their particular ministries.
I see. One of the criticism is, the praise that is given to Mrs. Prasad Biswas is that some of the MPs are now people who are on her executive. So is it that she's trying to get some people who are loyal to her?
Well, it is not only a matter of loyalty. I think she's probably trying to draw on their expertise and their experience to inform the executive as it makes decisions about the party and policy and so on.
Mm-hmm. And on the other end of the spectrum, the PNM, they have at last minute withdrawn the candidate Ansel Antwine from W Mirror. He made some comments about America. And then there is the issue of Mr. Lee Hunt, who resigned and was trying to become the MP for Labrie. Do you think that might hurt the party, those issues?
Well, it would certainly have some effects. Because I understand Mr. Lee Hunt was the vice chairman of the party. And if someone is so highly placed...
He still is, the vice chairman, I think.
He still is, yeah. And one will expect that he will have his sympathizers and his friends and his supporters within the party ranks as well. So that must have some kind of effect on the unity of the party.
Right. But at the end of the day, it is votes that win elections. Now, because of the COVID-19 and that's the first thing you spoke about, we may not have those mass political rallies that we are used to. Would that play a part? Do you think that would affect voting?
Well, I think it certainly people are accustomed, they have certain expectations, and that they are accustomed to going to a rally and clapping in support of their candidate or of their political leader, and that would no longer be so, which means that the techniques of the party and the techniques of campaigning, as well as the techniques of mobilizing voters on election day, will have to be reconsidered and adjusted. A lot of it will depend on the analysis of the psychology of the voter as well.
What effect do you think that would have? I mean, because people are accustomed, as you say, going in rallies, making noise. Would that have an effect? You think people may not go and vote as much as they did before in the past?
Well, certainly, with some. In any case, all the studies we have done so far suggest that the younger people are less inclined to. There's a low voter turnout among younger people. Mm-hmm. That's one. That's almost a given of electoral behavior. But other people vote according to how much they are attracted by the issues or by the candidates. And I think people are far more apprehensive now than they were in past elections because of the international nature of the virus, the crisis we are facing.
So that
I think political parties now will have to rethink a lot of their methods of campaigning and attracting people and so on. And I in that respect, I would suggest that they turn a lot to the psychology of the voter under different situations.
But given that, you know, the social media now would play a more important part, maybe, or we are more a factor that most of the parties would use. Would that influence the younger voter more than it would do the elder one?
Well, certainly, young behavior is largely influenced by social media. Whether it would result in an increased voter turnout among them is another matter. Mm-hmm. But people change. People change, and young people can change, and a lot will depend on the techniques that are used on the polling day. People have to be coaxed out of their houses. We are already in a situation where people are advised to stay at home because of the virus, so that this has entered into the psychology of the people. So there is a fear of the virus outside, which means that you have to make extra efforts and have extra provisions to take people, literally to take people out of their homes and send them to the polling stations.
I see. Now, on another note, you know that the marginals are the one that counts, you know, at the end of the day.
Yes.
And we're talking about a lot of them along the East West Corridor, Barra Terrace, San Juan, St. Joseph, Tunapuna, then you have...
And San Fernando West.
San Fernando West, Batatal Paro, and maybe Muruga Tableland, you know. So the majority are being held by the PNM. So is it that it is for the PNM to lose, or is it for the UNC to win? How do you see it?
Well, being marginal, it means that it can go either way. But where analysis has to focus is not only on the broad constituency, but on those areas, namely the polling stations, that are marginal. In other words, you have to look for areas of marginality within the marginal constituency.
And that would give us a better insight into who you think could win.
Exactly.
But okay, you know, as a political party, what would you do to change the minds of people, for example, in the marginal? You know, we also hear about resources, and the government in power have more the resources, and they always have the advantage. Would that play again? Would that be a factor?
Well, resources are, of course, an important consideration. And I assume the government will use that to their... the governing party would use it to their advantage. But the opposition also have the opportunity not only to get resources and so on by other means, by contributions, from their followers or from whatever other areas the law allows. But what the opposition has to do essentially is to convince the electorate that saving the country during the crisis, the virus crisis, was one thing, but recovery and recovering from that situation requires a different set of skills, and that is the kinds of skills they have, and they have to provide a program for that kind of recovery, what they are going to do to recover.
You know, some people are comparing to what is happening now, you know, recently some unrest in Port of Spain, you know, police shootings, etc. They're comparing 2020 to 1990. Do you see it? Do you see any sort of similarities?
Well, certainly the mood and the fear. In 1990, there was a clear attempt to overthrow the government in power. I don't think in 2020 this was an attempt to overthrow the government, but I think it was a demonstration, especially by the younger folk, that they are dissatisfied with whatever, dissatisfied in the achievement of their expectations, whatever those expectations were. I understand that they were accustomed to receiving contracts from government and were no longer receiving them, and that affected them unduly. A lot of the people who enter gangs are generally young people during a time of depression. It happened in the case of Chicago during the Great Depression, because young people, especially the younger people, they have the need for heroes. They have the need for heroes. They also have needs, fundamental economic needs, and so on. And if these are not met, they are not like the mature older people who could reason why the situation is like this. Their expectations are different. They also need heroes in the society. And I'm afraid to say there are not too many heroes in Trinidad at the moment, at least as far as they are concerned.
But you know, economically, Trinidad and Tobago is better off now. If you look at 1990, you know, there's no talk about maybe going to the IMF, you know, issues like that. You know, we are.
Yes, I know. Yes, but you see, the expectations, economics expectations, depend on what you have been receiving in the recent past. So you are geared to those expectations. The expectations now have to be different. And this is what they are beginning to find out.
I see. The issue of immigrants, you know, Venezuelan immigrants, would that also factor in this election? Of course, the Venezuelans, and they would be able to vote. But that whole issue, you know, of them being here, do you think that is another factor, another issue on the hustings?
I don't think that would be much of a factor, because they seem to be contributing to the labor force and generally getting involved in work of one kind or another. So it is not that they are a charge on the state as such. If they were a charge on the state, I imagine they would attract some hostility. But they seem to be fending for themselves.
I see. Professor Alagia, thank you very much. You have been very insightful as usual. Thank you for being on Gael on the newsroom. If I need you again, I'm sure you will come back. So talk
Certainly.
To us. Thank you very much again.
Right. Thank you.
Good night.